Welcome to the Work Inspired Podcast. I'm Tzvi Broker here with Rabbi Yehoshua Gerzi, and we are thrilled to tell you about what lays in store in our weekly podcast for the Jewish professional. Before we begin, people often ask me about Pilsner Work Inspired and how it was created, and more to the point, how did I personally get involved? So for me, Pilsner Work Inspired was an outgrowth of a personal journey. I'm from New York, and about 11 years ago, I had left full-time learning. And at that point, I'd been transitioning into the workplace, and I realized I wasn't prepared. You know, I had a college degree, and from that perspective, I was all ready to go. But as I hit my first job, I just found myself asking the question, what am I really, really doing here? You know, and the truth is, at first I thought, like many people, like, oh, maybe it was the specific job that I was in. So I tried a different job and bounced around a bit. And I had this realization one day that it wasn't really about the job. And I realized that I actually didn't have answers to fundamental questions about what does the Torah and Yiddishkeit, Judaism, even have to say about the whole entire topic about work.
It was more about mindset.
Yeah, I realized totally that it was just more about, like, I was totally lacking this mindset. And it was interesting because I had spent a lot of years learning, and many of my years studying was focused on the Emunah Torah and about, you know, Tefillah and Shabbos, like the classical things that, you know, that us as Jews that we focus on. And it was almost as if the whole entire topic of work was kind of like left outside the door. Like, it was like if plan A didn't work, so then you go to work. But it was, I realized, like, what does that actually mean? And how am I actually meant to feel? So at that point, you know, I realized that if I'm going to get through this, you know, this whole entire topic of work, I need to figure that out. So I started to dig, and I started to discover, find anywhere in Chazal that seemed to speak about work. And I remember in those early days, you know, I found things that I never really ever dreamed that I'd find. I discovered the fact that work actually wasn't meant to feel like a curse. And I remember that day when I uncovered this, you know, this gem, finding the word love and work in the same sentence, and found that it was even a Tana that said this thing.
And it's not even an obscure midrash that nobody knows about.
Right, it's like Perkei Avos. Like, you know, like we're supposed to read it every single Shabbos for a lot of the year. And it was really, really mind-boggling for me. And what I did is I was just going through the work, and I was struggling. I really, really was struggling through, you know, being at work. And it wasn't particularly because of the job. I just wasn't really sure how to be able to look at the whole entire experience. But I went out and got myself this bulletin board, you know, and I printed out these Mara Makomos that I found. And like, I was going through the work day looking at my computer, and, you know, after 45 minutes, I was like, what am I doing here? My eyes would shoot up, look at that bulletin board, and be like, wow. Okay. It was like taking a cold drink of water, you know, on a spiritual, emotional level, giving me clarity about, wow, this isn't bad, you know, and this isn't pointless. This isn't just something that I need to do because at the end of the day, listen, you know, it may not be fun, but you got to buckle down. You know, you have to be responsible. You have your wife, you have your kids, which was what really drove me to get involved at work in the first place. But through this exploration, I realized that there's a lot more. And actually, the Torah has a lot to say. So, you know, it started off as a bulletin board with a couple of Mara Makomos. For me personally, you know, started with looking at this Mara Makom, finding this source. I started to write. I started to make connections for myself. And I had this realization that, wow, like, this is something which is needed out there. And at that time of my, you know, my career, I was also working, you know, for college. I was involved in guiding, people as they were transitioning, you know, from choosing their career into the workforce. And I realized that it wasn't just me that was lost. There was so many people. I remember I was working with people from not just, you know, I'm from New York, but I was working with people from America, people from Israel, people from the UK, people from Russia, people from Europe. And I realized this is a global issue. This is a global issue that we spend so much time and so much money, you know, into our tuition, into our training, into our education. And with this belief that we need to do this because afterwards we need to be able to work. And then at the end, when we get to the end, there's so many people that just don't understand what their next step is, what they need to be doing. And once they get there, they just feel like, what's it all about? Right? They feel like, why am I doing this? How does this fit into the bigger picture of my life as a Jew, and just in my own personal mission? So I just took upon myself really as a commitment. And there was really, at that point, it was really just a personal commitment that I need to share this wisdom. And I started putting together workshops, and I started to give them, you know, on a small level. And it was really at that point that I was starting to know Rabbi Gerzny, you know, and started an innocent conversation. And what I discovered was that I wish I started that conversation 10 years ago. When I learned about Rabbi Gerzny and what Pilsner had been involved in really, you know, excavating this whole entire topic of finance, financial health, and work, and bringing it to the Jewish community. So that's how I got involved. Rabbi Gerzny, what was your story? How did you come across this?
So I would say, first of all, I just want to share with you, it's such a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you. I think that so many people have this undercurrent narrative, and sometimes it's like really in their face, but there's many a time where it's just subtly under there, and until somebody actually pulls it out, it's this frustrating narrative that exists under the surface. You know, just the idea of so many conversations I've had about, oh yeah, I have to go out to work because I have to, you know, I can't afford it, so now I need to leave learning. And this idea, now I'm second best, I'm not where I should necessarily be. And a lot of these very interesting ideas that people pick up from somewhere, I mean, we can trace back from where, but just these, I would say, these compounded frustrations that people live that stop us living life to the fullest. And, you know, your story, your narrative, your experience is the same as so many others. And I validate you. I hear you. I've heard it many times before and I hear you. So it's interesting. My story is slightly different. I grew up in a very rabbinic family. And I would always hear my grandfather, and I still hear it today, well, you are 43rd generation of Rabbonim. 43rd generation, wow. 43rd generation. And it was more than that, because at least 40 of them, I can trace back at least 20-something generations for sure. They were poskim, they were makubalim, people would come from all over the world, they really went out there, and people came to them. They were really people of the community in a very deep way. And I'll just give you one snippet, one story. My great 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 grandfather's name was Rabbi Yitzchak Gerzny, and he had 11 brothers and one sister, and they were very wealthy. They had a factory selling wine and cheese, and they did very, very well for themselves. Now, what was really amazing is that they were all Rabbonim. They all held positions, and they all supported each other. And how did they support each other that responsibility was leveled out? They would take turns having a sabbatical and learning, wow, where 3/4 of the day was working and 1/4 of the day was learning. For a whole year they would do this. And then another brother would come in and they would go back to learning the whole year. And they would share out the wealth. But their father, their great-grandfather, their great-great-grandfather, they were working and learning, and they did not take money for learning. So I grew up listening to this most of my life. I grew up in a household where there was a pride, I think that's where you say it. There was pride to be self-sufficient.
Right.
And I remember when I wanted to, myself, after I got married, I'd been learning in yeshiva, and I wanted to, you know, go to Kollel. I wanted to stay in learning. Learning hasn't always come easy to me, and it still doesn't, but that's what I wanted to do, stay in learning. And I'll never forget, my father said to me, listen, I want you to live what you want to live. I want you to have that. I want you to own that. If you want to stay in learning, labriyut. I want to give you all the opportunities in the world to live the life that you fully, fully want to live. And my father said to me, I can tell you potentially what could happen if you are not thought out, if you don't see what's going to become. So my father said to me, you know, I can guess a lot of your chaverim who would as well love to stay in learning, within a few years, they'll have to go out and work. They won't be able to fulfill that ruts on that wanting, that yearning to stay in learning, because there'll be financial burden, et cetera, et cetera. We know the rest of the story, like you and like so many others. So my father says, let me help you. Okay. I don't think you need to go to university. I don't think that's my team for you, but at least do a few different courses now. Do some different courses. And I will help you figure out what's good for you based on your skills. And Baruch Hashem, my father's Rebbe and my Rebbe, I inherited my father's Rebbe, our family Rebbe, the Biala Rebbe Shlita. I sat with him. And the Rebbe was a brilliant financial and career advisor. And he sat with me and he asked me questions. And we came out with a really good plan. And yes, it cost a little bit more money in the short term. I did massage therapy and then I did physical therapy and I did this and I did that. But I built up a repertoire of really practical tools. And what I then did after I got married, I was learning in Kailel and I was working in the morning and the evening. And it was very interesting. I was jealous because my friends were learning all day. But then when I stopped back, my father says, you're learning just as many hours as them and you're building already a financial, you know, financial stability. And tachlis, that's what I did. And I stayed in learning for many years and I still am in learning. And I've been Baruch Hashem financially independent. And what is a little bit, if it's sad or not, I don't know. But my friends who very much wanted to stay in learning, you know, I speak to them and they're working very, very hard because everything started later. Now they're catching their tails a little bit. And it's just this, it's interesting. I was so thankful that my father gave me this advice and I found it very, very helpful. And I hope, I mean, that was my personal story. But then when I was about, I don't know, I'll remember afterwards how old I was. I met Rabbi Singer, who was in New York. I met him through a grandson. And Rabbi Singer shared with me what we call the Arbi Yisoidus. What are the Arbi Yisoidus? So this is a tradition that Rabbi Singer received from his family. I think it came from his mother's line, if I remember correctly, going back to Rabbi Gershon Kitever and the table of the Baal Shem Tov. And the story that he told me is it goes as following, that the Baal Shem Tov, when the Baal Shem Tov was Megala himself, one of the first things the Baal Shem Tov did was to help people in these four areas. He helped people in health and in finance. He helped people with their relationships. He helped people learn the right information that they should be learning. And he helped guide people. So you have guidance, wisdom, you've got relationships, interpersonal relationships, and you've got financial and physical health. And Rabbi Singer then says to me that you should go out and you should study this and you should help people, you know, help people reframe their experience, their understanding, a mind shift of actually what it is in Torah, in Judaism, what it is, the work experience, and help yourself and help others. You will become empowered. You will become inspired, but it's not good enough. It's just you. We have to be of service and we have to help others. And I was like, Torah speaks about work. Right.
You had that moment also.
Yeah, it was like, what was it? Torah speaks about Parnassa. Where does Torah speak about Parnassa?
Right. Like, so it seems like I know from conversations I've had with people, you know, I'm sitting with people and people come to me as a, you know, for career advice. And, you know, when I'm sitting with someone, you know, who I feel would appreciate it, I'm like, you know, you should just know, like, you know, this is a Sukkah and Kedusha and the Sugi on Baba Basra. And they're like, their eyes light up and they're like,
I was shocked. I was shocked. They look at, and Rabbi Singer, he looks at me like, he would never say this in Yoshua Gerzi's eyes. He looked at me like, are you an idiot? Are you like a fool? And I'm like, am I really missing? I've been learning for a long time. I'm missing something here. And then one by one, he starts to quote the most practical, down to earth, not like Kabbalah and Hasidus, Pirkei Avos, a sugi, a gemara here and a gemara there. I'm like, I've read that before. I read that Pirkei Avos. I know the Pirkei Avos he's speaking about, but I never read it before.
No.
I realized at that moment, did I not know the Maror Mekoyimus? No, I knew those Maror Mekoyimus. But how many times did I just read the words and I did not reflect upon the words? And Rabbi Singer started just like spouting out Maror Mekoyimus. Look here, look there, look there, look there. And mamash, yeah, Parnassa and Ein Kemach Inter. And I heard it, But in the context of what Rabbi Singer was sharing, I did not hear it. It was the first time I heard it. There was this deep hitchachus. And basically, Rabbi Singer, and then I met Rabbi Isaac Shapira, and I met several other mentors that became my mentors. They, you know, Rabbi Yosef Lieberman, Shalita, you know, these people, they had strong work ethic. And whereas I had this family Masorah where it was just a davar pashut, right. And whereas my father gave me this advice and I listened, Rabbi Singer then, bang, he like a bomb went off. And that started a journey 20 years ago where I have been involved in incredibly deep research, not superficial research, where I've gone through Mamash, all the classic texts, Mishnah, Tosefta, Bavli, Yerushalmim, you know, the Midrashim, so on and so forth, Sifrei Chassidus, Sifrei Musa, Sifrei Kabbalah. And it's amazing to know they all have something to say, and usually it's very positive.
Right, that's the...
Usually it's very, very positive. It's hardly negative. Even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we have the whole sugi, everyone knows Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was so against. I can show you several Maimah Chazal, Pirkei Avos, in 6-8, how it's so powerful, all of these words which we think we should stay away from in a context, a healthy context in Yiddishkeit. Actually, the words kavod and ashir and the guf that we're told to stay away from. No, in a healthy context, we're told, go for it.
Right.
Go for it. And basically tachle since then, at first under the guidance of Rabbi Singer and several other tzaddikim, the Biala Rebbe, who I still make sure that I'm very, very up to date with all the time. Yeah, still building out models, building out shiurim. And my wanting and my yearning is very simple. It's to mechazek people that whatever somebody's doing, if somebody wants to stay in learning labriut, if somebody needs to go out to work labriut, it doesn't matter what a person's doing, but it's to help upgrade their life in the area and the way that they want to live life. That's it. And it's to show them that Torah is rich, not just with Mar Makomos, but Torah has absolutely amazing ideas.
Right.
That was the other Nakuda.
Right. So it's not just about that it's okay. It's just the amazing amount of, you know, insight that the Torah gives into actually how to get there, right? Which is, you know, I was from my experience of like trying to guide people towards choosing the right career, being successful at work, and then finding Mamare Chazal that, you know, are reflecting these ideas, you know, spoken about thousands of years ago. And it's just to have like what, you know, as you're mentioning, it's that this was on their minds. This was on their minds because it was an understanding that this comes in part and parcel. And I think that it's so amazing what you shared of the fuller picture of the Arba Yesodos, because, you know, ultimately Pilsner work inspired, you know, is a piece of the puzzle, you know, but the goal of what we're aiming for over here, is that, you know, we live multifaceted lives. You know, we don't just learn, we just don't work, we just don't have families, we're doing all of it together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what I think what people struggle with is that, you know, they may go to a shir and hear about the importance of this, and they go to class and the importance of this and the importance of this, but how to be able to integrate all of those pieces is really what the Arba Yesodos is about, and really what Pilsner is all about. And you know, to give some context about what this work inspired podcast is going to be, so I just want to share a little bit more about, you know, what you spoke about, what our mission is, like what's our goal, you know, about at Pilsner Work Inspired. So, look, you know, for yourself, if you're somebody who either you're working, you know, where you know people that are working, or you're at a stage of life where you may be going out to work, right? Is that when it comes to be able to find this approach, you know, this healthy approach, this balanced approach of how to be able to go into the world of finance and to go into the world of work in a healthy way. It's hard. And the reality is that despite how much, you know, a person may want to work as less as, you know, as least as possible, deal, you know, as least amounts of time as possible with their finances, we spend a lot of our lives doing it.
Say, you know, it's interesting. I remember speaking to Rabbi Singh, and we discussed this, where the finance, in the world of finance, you've got the world of finance, you've got the world of work, and the world of career. Which Rabbi Singh, I remember discussing this, the order Rabbi Singh broke it down, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Olam is the world of finance, to make sure we've got a proper outlook, a healthy outlook in regards to money, how we use money, money's potential. It's mamash, we could do Ein Sof, it's amazing. Then Shana is work, actually what I'm spending my time doing. And career is Bechina of Nefesh. And I remember sitting like with Rabbi, with the Biala Rebbe, and Biala Rebbe would say, and again, it's a big chiddush, and this feeds into everything that we've been trying to do and that we are doing, I think in a beautiful way, that the Rebbe said, do you think you will enjoy these areas? If you do personal training and you're working, you know, in Golders Green and you're helping people, are you going to enjoy that? Is there going to be a geschmack? When you do career coaching, I did a lot of career coaching, small business coaching. Are you going to get a geschmack out of it? Now, I knew I'd never do a 9-to-5 job. You know, that's not who I am. And that was respected about me. It was amazing. My parents respected me about that. My Rebbes, my mentors. And it was just a reality check that it was important to the Rebbe. It was important to the Biala Rebbe. You would enjoy what you do. And the Rebbe, I asked, is this just the Rebbe or is this Torah? And he showed me Makairis. And the courses that we're trying to build out, the Torah that we're trying to give over, is to recognize, the Rebbe showed me by his father, that when you are at work, you're spending so much time at work, saying, just reflecting what you're saying you're spending so much time at work, so much time in the world of finance. When the Rebbe's father would say, Chelkas Yeshua, you're picking up lots and lots and lots of Nisaisas Kedusha.
Wow.
Lots of these holy sparks that, you know, being metaken, fixing up the world, beautifying the world.
Yeah, so I think
we spend a long time doing it.
Yeah, the perspective is so empowering. I've seen with so many people in conversations, and I'm sure it's you as well, you know, and running these workshops, it's so empowering for people because those three things, finance, work, and career, for so many people, all get mished into one little thing where people think that it's all the same thing. You know, yeah, there's yeah. the work is just about finance, and finance is just about work, and you know, or career, you know, is that a Jewish concept, a career, not a Jewish concept to have a career? Maybe we're just supposed to be involved in finance. And really what, you know, what we're doing in Pearls and Work Inspired is really giving a space to discuss these things, which really is a confusion in so many people's minds. And what our goal is, like you mentioned, to be able to help people, to be able to empower people, is to be able to bring this topic to people at different stages of life. And that's why, you know, what we're involved in doing, right, is being involved with people as, you know, either if they're pre-career and they're trying to decide what they should choose and what they should go into. You know, you were very lucky. You had the Biala Rebbe as your career coach. You know, I should maybe refer people to come meet with me out to him. I don't know. It's not so easy to get an appointment. The truth is, it's just, you know, on the topic, I saw that Rav Volpe says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the first career coach. The Moshe Rabbeinu was the first career. I tell that to people. I said, listen, I have to be honest with you. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not the Gra. I'm not a Navi, but I'm going to do my best. But just to be able to, so either whether or not we're reaching people before their career or we're reaching people, you know, who are looking for a job, you know, How many people are looking for a job today, especially in the times they were looking, you know, they're living through? And, you know, in Baruch Hashem, there's lots of people that are trying to help people find jobs by, you know, putting up job boards and offer different services. But what is an experience meant to look like? How does, as a religious Jew, how do we look for a job? Right? Are we supposed to be? So many people I have conversations with, they feel uncomfortable about the whole job process. I have to promote myself. You know, I have to build myself a personal brand. So we hit that point. And then there are people that are already working, right? And our goal is to really be able to work with all professionals and to be able to give them the tools so they should be able to enjoy what they do and experience work the way that Reb Meir wanted us to experience work. And the way, and this is something I think about all the time. And these are my mentors. These are my mentors. And Baruch Hashem, I had the opportunity throughout my own journey. It's personal, but I'll share, you know, to make my way over to the Kivrei Tzaddikim of these mentors of Am Yisrael in the whole sukkah of work. Rabbi Meir, you mentioned Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Chizkiya. And the wow, more that you learn about them, the more you see that they're all on board. And these were my mentors, and to realize that there is so much here to be able to guide us to experience work the way that if I'd be sitting with Shimon Bar Yochai and ask him, how should I be experiencing my job? How would you want me to experience job? How does Hashem want us to be experiencing our job? And just on that, I'll share, you know, and then I know we have to speak a bit about what this podcast is going to be about, but there was one time I saw this advertisement that really bothered me, you know, and I saw this ad, and it said, get a career with a soul. Get a career with a soul. And the advertisement was trying to push becoming a therapist. Now, I think therapists are amazing, and I believe that what therapists do can be, you know, very much, you know, a career with a soul. But the implication, the subtle implication of this was that, you know, becoming a therapist is a career with a soul. Or, you know, I've seen this similar advertisements, becoming a teacher, becoming a Rebbe. That is a job, a profession with a shlichus, is to become a teacher. What's the implication? That if you're working in finance, if you're an accountant, if you're you know, working in marketing, if you're driving a bus, no. That's not a career with a soul. That's, and I know we've had conversations, sheker gamur. Mom is sheker, and it's a poison, because it's a poison which is giving across a message that if a person is involved at work, that that's something which is soulless. And what we're so involved in Pilsner Work Inspired, right, is getting across the message to people, and whatever you're working in, whatever your profession is, if you understand the perspective of work and you are aligned with what you're doing, there is no one job that is a job with a soul more than another job.
And this is Hasidic Torahs that you're giving, like Musa 20th century Torahs? So, or is it older than that?
So people might think so, but once again, you know, we can find many, many Hasidic sources, and we can share this as well, but it's Chazal.
This is Chazal?
Gemara and Brachas. Whenever I share with people, they're like, I'll tell them.
Off the chair. It's like, what?
I'll tell them the truth is, you know, Baal Shem Tov spoke about this, but this is Gemara Brachas. Like, this is Gemara Brachas, this is Gemara Kedushin, this is Berkei Avos, this is Avos Rav Nassan. You know, this is Medrash Rabbah. Like, and it's such a privilege, you know, that I feel so privileged to be working together with you and this journey that we've had to be on this mission of that take people that are working, and to be able to give them the tools to experience work in a way that they're meant to, and to be crazy successful. Not just, amazing. Okay, crazy thriving. Successful, thriving. And like you mentioned, and just so important to highlight, this is all about the integration of Torah and work. And therefore, to understand how a person is able to upgrade their experience of work, to be able to bring God consciousness, so that therefore people are able to be closer to Hashem, inside work, outside of work, increase their time in Torah learning. And for those people that are trying to stay in learning, like you mentioned your own story, to be able to give them tools. And I know that personally you've been involved in helping so many individuals with different models that you've built to enable people to stay in learning, right? Which so many people just don't realize. They think, you know, just get a job. I have so many conversations, just get a job, learn. And then afterwards, just find a job, whatever they can get. And then they end up being stuck. And the models that you've built have really been able to enable people that want to learn to be able to stay in learning. And for those people that they feel within themselves, if they want to go out to work, or they have to go out to work, or they're already working, Lamaisa, to give them the ability to be able to thrive in that which they do. And that's really what PWI is all about. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we've been around for a while, but because you'll share a little bit about what we've been doing.
So before that, I want to say something.
Yeah, sure.
So the way we work and the way I've worked over the last 20 years and the way that Reb Tzvi were working together is we constantly monitor the demographics. We're looking at different communities, whether it be the Haredi community, whether it be the modern Orthodox community. We're monitoring the communities. We're monitoring models that work in the secular world. And we're trying to bridge in. We're looking at Torah Makoros. We're speaking to our Rabbonim. But you know something that's really interesting, and we've discussed this a number of times. As you're mentioning a certain segment of society, you take, for example, somebody who wants to stay in learning. Okay. So, Baruch Hashem, we work with 2 to 3 different models of helping somebody stay in learning if they want to stay in learning. And you know what's missed? What I find very interesting, and this is something very real. In the Haredi world, There's so much going on to help individuals either stay in learning or to transition into work. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of projects, a lot of proacts. There's a tremendous amount going on, whether it's Kemach or whatever it may be. What I find very interesting is, as well, within the modern Orthodox world, and really, there's not much conversation about this, and I find it's an issue. Take, for example, your modern Orthodox kid who went through yeshiva for a couple of years, and they're wanting Avodas Hashem, they're wanting, you know, to grow, to change. Then they go to do university, and they become a doctor, a lawyer, or accountant, whatever it may be. And then they're working like 20 hours a day. And then what happens? And how many times have we heard this story? People who are in work, people who are working. Not, for example, your Haredi demographic, who so many people would prefer, teach them the skills and let them get out of learning into work. That's one demographic. It's true. It's true people have that conversation. That conversation is being had. People are speaking about that. And there are organizations to help people. We are one of a few organizations that help people stay in learning as well, which is a conversation that isn't heard again, because the Inyan that we're not coming necessarily with an agenda of staying in learning, coming out of learning, Haredi, modern Orthodox, that's not our agenda. Our agenda, I hope, I davent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remains the same. It should be authentically helping the person in front of us deepen their life experience. But what about the modern Orthodox Hevra that not being dealt with, that don't know how to create work balance and rhythm, and they're at work 20 hours a day, you know, fighting to get higher? Yeah. What about the amount of Shalom Bais issues that we've heard? What about the chinuch with children? They don't see their parents. What about this, the expended? It's so different. And where's the conversation? In a lot of the yeshivas, they are not having these conversations.
Right.
So we're trying to look at human experience. And we're trying to share what Torah says about human experience in a space to allow each individual within the different demographics fulfill their wanting of where they want to be. And I think that's it's not coming out and saying, this should be like this. No. How can we support you? We have some ideas. And I think, I know that's what goes on in my heart, and I know we've spoken about that, but we're trying to have conversations where, as yet, there aren't many people, that there aren't many conversations.
Right. So, I think I was having a conversation with, you know, someone the other day about this in a different context, but I think it highlights this point. You know, when it comes to the world of academics, right, you know, some people speak about the fact there's this academic, you know, ivory tower, you know, where people can go and study a profession, you know, and learn from university professors that sometimes have actually no idea what's actually happening in the workplace, right? And then people will go and then they'll finish and they'll get a degree. And then they find out like, okay, things have changed, nothing to do with each other. So sometimes that can happen. And I just think as a parallel of what you're saying is that I think that, where we're both coming from, you know, from a perspective of a rabbinic side of being in the Torah sources and working with people is that it's something which is constantly feeding in new information. And therefore, you know, we're reacting to that which we're hearing.
Yes.
And constantly hearing what's actually happening today with people that are looking for a job. And that's not what happened maybe 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And where things will be in another 5-10 years will change.
Yeah.
But as we're involved with people, you know, and I know that you're, you know, a very avid researcher, and, you know, in my own journey, I've done a lot of research into what's been happening, just really bridging this world of what's actually happening in the workplace, what's happening with our communities. And then we have Torah Emes, Torah Chaim, which is eternal, and being able to bridge it all together in a way that's able to escort people through the journey of life. It's not that something you learned once when you were in yeshiva. It's something that you're going to take with, and something you're going to take with you, and it's going to continue to give you the ability to thrive.
Maybe we can share a little bit of what we've been doing.
Sure. Yeah, I would love to, you know, to share that with our audience. You know, Baruch Hashem, we've been up to a lot. We've been up to a lot, and there's a lot to
Shalom Aleichem, everybody.
There's a lot in store, and really, the podcast that, you know, we're going to be speaking about is really just a piece of the puzzle. So maybe, you know, I'd love to share a little bit about what we've been doing.
Okay. So first of all, there's people watching. I understand people watching here. Yes, people watching, but I'm just enjoying myself with you. Babish. Thank you. Thank
and
you.
It's exciting to be able to share this together with you.
Should have another schnapps. So, so basically what we've been doing, I started myself. And my journey by myself basically was putting together, I see patterns and Mara Makoma. So started with individuals and career counseling, career coaching. Then Baruch Hashem, that moved on to, I would say, Vadim and courses. And we've been running several Vadim and courses, moving into workshops. And they're all still running. So I sit with people individually. You sit with people individually. We both sit with Vadim independently, giving Vadim and Shurim. And we have workshops as well, where the last 20 years of our discussions with people have translated into understanding patterns. And from those patterns, placing them and putting them into principles. So, Lamashal, a lot of what we've been doing until now involves sitting with individuals, small groups, and workshops to do with financial reprogramming, understanding finance, understanding what work is, and understanding career, the pain points. And Baruch Hashem, I've been invited to share my ideas with many different groups and organizations in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in the UK. And then over the last 12 to 15 years, organizations have come to us, and we've actually produced content for many different organizations. And that's been something incredibly powerful and fulfilling as well. And from there, basically, we're now wanting to take steps forward. And I know that my time is like really limited. I'm busy with very, very good activities. So Chasde Hashem, I invited Reb Tzvi to become the director of Work Inspired. And hopefully the other RB Siders as well will have a similar model. And what we are working on right now is we've completed an online course. We're actually going more online, as you can experience right now. And that's simply to get our message out more. So we've got podcasts, we've got mini series. We have as well an online course that's Be'ezras Hashem, it's been finished. Hopefully we now are going to film it. And as well, around all of that, we've got, I've been giving different series for 17, 18 years already. So we will be having WhatsApps, groups to help mechazek each other, community groups to help mechazek each other, et cetera, et cetera.
So I'll tell you what I was just to highlight one of the points you mentioned about what we've been up to. This topic of work and how it ends up manifesting in different communities. It's interesting how it comes across the spectrum. On one side of the spectrum, you have people that don't want to be working, They think that work is, evil. For them, it's if they need to work, it's a miserable experience. And then for them, what our workshops have been, and when we've had the opportunity to go out to speak to these audiences, to be able to help them, to empower them so that they're able to experience in a more positive way. And those are workshops we've offered for some segments of the community. And then the other side of the spectrum, you have people that are not yet affiliated, with Torah Judaism. And part of the reason why they're not is because they have a belief that if they become more observant of the Torah, that means dropping their career. They believe that that means, right? To be a Torah Jew means professionalism, Torah, career success. It's out the window. And we've had the opportunity to run workshops and to create materials to help empower those communities, people that are not yet observant, to help them see what does Judaism really say about, the topic of career. And, like you mentioned, Rick, our focus of everything we're doing is about transformation. And that's why we're very, very, in terms of the online course you've spoken about, we're in the process right now of rolling out an online platform. The focus is to build community. The focus is not just to give information, but to have exercises that create
transformation.
Transformation, yes, exactly. Yes, Our goal is transformation because we want you that when you're sitting at your work desk after you've listened to us speak, that you're going to have practical tools that you'll be able to connect and implement every single day. That's really what we want to achieve. If we haven't achieved that, we haven't done a good job. So, you know, work inspired. Let's get to the podcast now. But just to sum it up, we're a nonprofit and we're here to be able to fill this burning need of the Jewish community, perhaps even more now than ever. I think more than now than ever, because we live in such busy times. You know, everyone's talking about how many hours we really work. You know, how much do people really work? You know, forget about 9 to 5. How many hours we're really working. We need help. And Baruch Hashem, we've had the opportunity to be able to impacting thousands of people across the globe. Mamash across the globe. You know, you mentioned I myself have been to Europe, to America, running workshops. And now we want to reach people in your office. You. We want to reach you in your office. You can make it to one of our workshops to give you what you need. And as a nonprofit, we are looking for people who share this vision, and have this understanding that the Yiddishkeit is not complete without this. And we need to be able to help our global community. You know, as our content in our podcast is going to be, really all of our materials, our mini-series and our content is going to be based off of Torah sources. It's really an amazing opportunity for someone who wants to sponsor the Uli Nishmas in a really impactful, unique way. Right, in a really impactful, unique way to reach people in ways they're not being reached, to sponsor or for businesses that want to be able to reach their audiences, you know, whether people that are, you know, people that are at home or people that are at work and professionals. It's a really amazing opportunity. And we're looking for people sharing that vision. So just, you know, to wrap up this podcast, which is our intro about our podcast, let's just tell you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. There's a lot of topics. But our goal in the podcast is like this, right? Is that there are a lot of topics that you mentioned kind of like under the ground. People just talk about like when no one else is listening because they don't really want to share their fears, their insecurities, or shame, their beliefs, guilt, or really their confusion. So many people are confused. They don't want to be confused, right? So we're really bringing to center stage all these topics. And as we've mentioned in this talk, whether it's going to be people that are pre-job, people that are looking for a job, professionals, men, women, people that are in later stages of their career development, people that are in learning, people that are looking to stay in learning, to bring out topics that people need to hear about. Conversations that we've had with individuals that we want to now bring out to you and to the global community. Fundamental questions. We'll just throw out a few of them we're going to be talking about in our podcast, right? How are we meant to relate to our interests and our preferences in Gashmias? When it comes to our interest for materialism, so many conversations I have with people, right? I'm looking to become financially comfortable. Are you proud when you say that? Right? Is that something you want to... Some people feel great.
You remember, I tell the funny Meiser, there was a Yid who, he was very wealthy and he wanted to buy a watch. Does he buy the $1,000 watch or the $5 watch and give the rest of the money to tzedakah? Went to one of the Gedolei Yisrael and he says, you're mechuyev to buy the $1,000
watch. The $1,000 watch, wow. Wow, that takes a guzzle, right? And these are the types of things.
Yeah.
Wealth, right? The topic of wealth, right? Are we looking to become wealthy, right? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Our relationship with work, right? We mentioned work-life balance. These are things that we're all focusing on, people are struggling with. And we want to talk about these topics. We want to talk about topics about hishtadlis, topics about bitachon, about, you know, women in the workforce, how to be able to balance different roles that we play. And our goal in this podcast is to open this conversation, besides for sharing wisdom and Torah sources, practical advice, stories that we've had from people that we've met with. We're also going to be implementing feedback and questions that we have from our audience, things that are coming up for you. And lastly, we'll be inviting, you know, and we're very excited to do this, to bring on people onto our podcast to interview, and this is really a long time dream for me, Jewish professions, professionals in different professions, so that people could get an insight into what can work look like for somebody that has the proper perspective, how people can become uplifted in every single job. So that's a very exciting thing we're going to be bringing on this podcast as well. You know, like I said, there's amazing opportunities to get involved and to be able to sponsor. You know, if there's a topic that really speaks to you, that you feel that your own career, that you felt you was never really addressed, or conversations you've had with people, you know, please, you know, comment and let us know. This is really the platform that we want to be able to bring out to the community. And, you know, in our next podcast, you know, very much in time for the time of year where, you know, everyone's thinking about Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, Rosh Hashanah is, you know, coming upon us, and people think, you know, Rosh Hashanah, we daven, we want to be mamlech Hashem, we want to make Hashem king over the world. You know, we're looking to be able, you know, we're living in crazy times. And, we're asking to be able to have success, you know, with our families and with our children and chinuch. And at the same time, we also know we're talking about our finances, right? The Gemara says a person's finances from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. How do we balance those two? You know, what are we really looking for? What are we really davening for? You know, standing there at that moment, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah. Like, okay, and my couch, and my car. So that's what we're going to be talking about in our next podcast. It's a really fascinating topic. And we're really excited, you know, to share with you, to give some really healthy perspectives, you know, on how to go into the new year with this mindset. So, you know, in order to make sure not to miss out, subscribe to this podcast. Make sure to connect us on social media. Like we mentioned, we're going to be putting out mini series, mini contents on all the platforms. Sign up for our email list. You know, we feel so privileged that we've been able to help the thousands of people that we've had. And it's our prayer going into the new year, you know, that we should be able to build this global community of people that have a unified mission of working with more fulfillment, an upgraded lifestyle, an integrated lifestyle, more peace of mind, clarity, and ultimately, as we say over here at Pilsno, to work inspired.